Chapter 1. Pursuit. The wind whistled through Terim's visor, and tears like slivers of diamond tickled the corners of his eyes. He strained, even with his half-elven eyesight, to see 6 chromaback dragons. The sun glinted off their scales like emeralds, though a few reflected as dark onyx. Riders sat astride them, perched between their outstretched wings. For the last several hours, even before he'd distinguished them, he suspected their enemy. Now that he'd confirmed the dragon riders weren't birds or griffins or some other creature, he tightened the grip on his reins. The Dragon Army's soldiers had never come so close to home. It was too bold. And one wing? What were they doing this far into Genova? The plains of Cyrix streaked along below, and wind whipped shreds of cloud past Terim's face. His proud mustache fluttered and cloak rippled, while about him, his wings spread in a loose heron formation. Their shining scaled dragons' metallic hues glinted in contrast to the colored chromabacks of the dragon army, another reminder of the two ancient tribes' many differences. Sand Rocketblade, his lieutenant, reacted aloud first.
"We have to move on them now, Commander!"
His hand whipped forward. Terim sighed at Sand's impatience.
"Hold yourself."
He barely heard the words, but read his gesture.
"Dark Knights, Commander, we're going to lose them."
"This isn't time for rash thought, Lieutenant."
Sand waved past the approaching force, swirling his arm to signify the sea.
"But the coast!"
Turum cut him off.
"Pass the motorcars, I know, Sand."
He'd heard enough words to catch the warning in Sand's voice. Dark Knights. That's what they called the Dragon Army's soldiers. It didn't matter. Not now. He wasn't going to make a maneuver that allowed escape if it failed, not after spending the entire morning in pursuit. They had to catch them.
"Soon, Sand, soon,"
he muttered. Barely a moment passed, then Sand struck the edge of his riding shield with his gauntlet, the faint clank of metal on metal. He'd boiled over already. Turim gave his friend credit for lasting this long. Sparse trees took shape below, growing closer each moment. The edge of the Modikaz forest. Turim's mind shuffled through countless writings on aerial strategies and flight patterns, the stuff they'd spent their time reading during their squiring years ago.
"Drive them low and strike,"
he told himself, remembering a maneuver he'd used several times since he'd taken leadership of the wing. All this time chasing the chromabacks was about to pay off, he hoped. And if it didn't? He suspected the Dragon Army had seen Grendelot Keep. If they'd spied out its defenses, the ability to protect his homeland would be ruefully weakened, if not shattered.
"The Modikaz, that's all we were waiting for. You're right, it's time. Signal for Breed and Bartlett to ascend, and then drive the enemy towards the surface."
San returned a nod of affirmation as though he'd rehearsed it the whole morning. Then he began his own arm motions. A grin returned to his face. Turim shook his head. With a twist in his saddle mount, he faced another pair of his dragon riders on the right flank. Arm raised, he signaled like a great leviathan diving into the darkness of the ocean.
"Arthur! Warren!"
His two right position riders fixed their eyes on him.
"Dive to the woods below. Prepare to intercept. Lieutenant Rocketblade and I are on your tails."
Hands rose in acknowledgement, and Arthur and Warren spurred their shining scale dragons onward, speeding through the morning mist toward the Modikaz forest below. The enemy responded and fled. In a moment, all 6 chromabacks skimmed the treetops while Arthur and Warren trailed a safe distance behind. Turim took one last breath to steel his nerves, then dove after. As San and his copper dragon drew alongside him, Turim's narrowed eyes flicked upward.
"Here they come!"
High above, he caught sight of Sleekscale and Morning, Breed and Bartlett's silver dragons. Like prairie larks from that distance, far off and removed. They broke from the sky like a storm on summer's eve. The clouds crackled with a charge, a loud clap of thunder split the air, and the dragons exhaled lightning arced towards the enemy wing. Tiny shivers sped up Turim's back. The majesty of the bolts never ceased to amaze him. No flash struck a target, but the Dark Knights spread outward, driven and separated, just as he'd hoped. He gave San the nod of approval. The lieutenant leaned forward, pulling his copper's reins.
Let's go, Lasertooth!
Turum had no doubt clever Lasertooth understood the urgency of their business. The reptile's muscles bulged with tension. Then he folded his wings back and dove toward the trees. Another bolt flashed past one of the enemy black dragons. Turum had confidence it would be the last. It was dry. One spark from Sleek Scale or Morning would ignite the forest below. He'd warned the men about it plenty of times. If they destroyed the lands they fought for, the Dragon Army would have victory, just as they'd conquered Daropel across the seas. Suspicions answered, Breed and Bartlett's Silver Dragons fell into pursuit above, ending their lightning barrage. Now their only job was to keep the Chromabacks from rising above the tree line. Well, most of them.
Keep it their backs, Thunderclap!
Though the rest of the wing was made up of shining scales, Terum's Blue was a Chromaback, the only rogue he'd ever met or heard of. Terum's riding shield had proper Knights of the Hawk markings, so it wasn't too tricky to spot the big blue dragon, but the wing was extra cautious just in case. Turum tapped Thunderclap's neck with his lance.
Don't let them out of your sight!
Even as he spoke, ahead of him, one of the green dragons turned through a pair of trees. It clipped its wing on a branch crossing its path, roared and spun out of control, careening sidelong into another trunk. There was a loud crack. The wood shifted slightly with the weight of the beast, and in a wild scattering of loam and earth, the green and its dark knight took a mortal tumble across the forest floor. Warren called out from the front.
One down, Commander! Five left! They won't last long!
Though scarcely heard by the rushing of the wind, his signals were clear. Turum and San looked at one another, and San gave a faint smile.
Keep on them, Warren!
He returned with a wave.
And focus,
thought Turum.
Don't lose focus.
Lunging forward, Warren and his wingmate Artho got behind one of the larger black dragons. Gaelai, Artho's bronze mount, tore through the black's right hindquarters as they grappled. The black fell, and an ear-splitting roar made Turum cringe. Flying out of control as Artho pulled away, the wounded black dragon dropped like a stone, slammed into a monolith of rock veiled within the trees, then slid sickly to the ground. Turum and Thunderclap weaved in closer, but were forced to instantly change tactics again. Without warning, a green dragon in front of him craned its neck around and spurted out a cloud of poison fumes. Its aim was poor, but unnecessary. The wind yanked the vapors from the air and covered Turum's wing in writhing strands. Turum pulled off from the pursuit.
Poison!
He raised his lance arm to signal while ducking aside, hoping the others had heard.
Solitaire!
Warren shouted the maneuver to his dragon. But the young knight's words were too late to change altitude, too late to avoid the toxic cloud. The deep broom swallowed Warren and his steel dragon. They were lost for several seconds. Turum looked back, heart pounding. His eyes froze, body numb. With an effort, he shook away the shock just as Solitaire burst forth from the rankness as a spring from the earth. Warren gave a cry of agony. Turum watched his wingmate plummet to the woods below. With a crash, Warren landed near a stream in an explosion of mud and stone, and all Turum could do was grit his teeth and return his attention to the Chromabacks ahead of him. The poison of the green dragon's gas entered the bloodstream, burning like wicked devils. In moments, Warren and his mount would start vomiting. Even if they drank from the stream, it would only slow it down. Warren's skin would turn a tinge of green, then purple, and the oxygen would cease its flow to his mind, seizing his life. Death would take his dragon shortly after. Turum and San exchanged glances, well aware that their companion and his dragon were as good as dead.
There are other men to worry about,
Turum told himself.
Grieve Warren later.
After a few deep breaths, he gripped his lance in his steel gloves, his knuckles marbled beneath them. He pulled the reins, but his blue dragon was already responding as if he'd read his mind. Thunderclap, with fury in his actions and a roar in his throat, gave an incomparable beat of his wings and dove low, inches above the ground. Turum could smell the loam beneath them, Bits of brush struck his helmet and riding shield. Regardless, it was a perfect maneuver. Rushing upward, Term's lance drove deep into the underbelly of the murderous dragon. Thunderclap powered past the green and pushed it aside, going nearly vertical into the sky as Term let go of the well-lodged lance. He wouldn't be drugged from the saddle mound by it. That was a mistake for inexperienced riders. They rose above the trees for a few seconds, which gave Term a moment to assess the distance to the shore. But he didn't relax long. The wind stung his face. He looked out over Thunderclap's head to see the end of the canopy of the Mordekaiser forest. Several hazy leagues further, he made out the jagged shore of the dwarven country of Peabok Din. They had already passed beyond their own country into that land, and they were running out of time. Only a few more minutes, and they'd have to call off the pursuit or risk drowning their exhausted dragons somewhere over the ocean. And who knew what reinforcements awaited beyond? Surveying his wing, Term found he was at the same altitude as Breed and Bartlett, who flew far behind the battle, still vigilant. Arthur was now a ways off to the right of the enemy. Having not made any move towards them, Term assumed Arthur's grief had put him out for the moment. But San, quick-witted as always, approached the rear of the three remaining black dragons. With each wing beat, Lasertooth made up the distance.
Lord Glidolans.
Thunderclap lowered his head as they arced through the treetops to rejoin the fray.
Signal to the rocket blade to advance. We can descend before the enemy to slow their pace, but we'll have to approach them fast.
Term understood the idea that had welled up in the blue dragon's mind as Thunderclap began his dive towards the front of the remaining Dark Knights. The position would make them susceptible to the black dragon's acid breath, but it was a worthy risk. Thunderclap seemed sure of the plan.
That's well enough for me, thought Term.
He began to signal San as Thunderclap roared like his namesake, rushing past several birds that flew up and out of the trees, apparently hoping to avoid any unpleasantness that might accompany trespassers in their forest. San gave an affirmative to Term.
Pull them in! Arrow forward!
He urged his copper. Lasertooth was at the tails of the remaining black dragons just as Thunderclap dropped before them. Furling out his wings to full span, the blue dragon slowed like a parasol caught in the wind of a blustery day and let out a screeching roar. Term looked back. Uncertain of their actions, the Dark Knights were forced to slow their dragons as Thunderclap blocked their flight path. Angry eyes burned in the darkness of their horned helms. The first part of their plan had worked.
It's all up to you now, Sand,
mumbled Term to himself. He took a deep breath and watched as Lasertooth carried Sand away with three black dragons on his tail.
After them, Thunderclap!
They fell far enough behind that it was hard to see the action ahead. Belching up their acid breath and firing it out in waves, the black dragons wasted no time in their attack on San and Lasertooth. Term heard the hiss as the stray dark liquid burned into the woods around them, instantly eating through tree and stone. San and his copper swooped back and forth, rolling and diving between the massive trunks of trees. Acid splashes misted around Lasertooth's tail, but they kept moving. They came to an open area, as trees seemed to bend away on either side. The time was right.
Sand would make his move now.
Lasertooth curled his neck around, spurting out a poisonous cloud of smoke similar to what Warren had inhaled. An orange waft of it swirled out behind him, billowing like a cloud. Term kept Thunderclap low, but he smelled it, even from this trailing distance, like fetid fruit. The Dark Knights plunged into the gas while Term wove far around. He watched as the trio's dragon mounts began helplessly plunging toward the tall, dry shrubbery at the edge of the forest. The Dark Knights and their mounts lay writhing far below as Term blew past overhead, Breed and Bartlett a few hundred feet behind him. Sand had succeeded. The scent of copper dragon's gas still lingered on the breeze, and he coughed with its taste.
So many lives.
He murmured to himself as he saw the Dark Knights. The Dragon Army soldiers would die, but Term felt both thankfulness and sorrow. Had they been drafted? Or had they wanted to follow the Gurmarks in their conquest? Looking back at his first years with the Knights of the Hawk, fighting giants and orcs had been far simpler. Terim caught up with San and Lasertooth, descending to rest near the shores of Peabok Din. On three sides, sparse trees and bracken surrounded the wing. Spreading out before them, though, were jagged stones that covered the shore in a wet, shining gray solidity. Far out, the tide lapped atop itself, endless like the war. Terim set Thunderclap down on the stony shore next to Guileye and Lasertooth, and was followed by Sleekscale and Morning. The dragon's sides heaved like great bellows. He unbuckled himself from his riding harness, and, holding the edge of his shielding, he stepped onto Thunderclap's shoulder plate, then leapt from his mount and landed with an armored clank of his blue steel-shod boots. He tore his father's helmet from his head and let it fall to the ground. Sand looked over at him, pushing aside a damp lock of his blue hair. He didn't say a word. The others dismounted, each removing their helmets as they collapsed and sat scattered along the shore. Now that the pursuit had passed and the tingle of battle had faded, the men's faces looked somber. Terim stalked towards the shoreline, passing his men.
What in the god's name was that wing doing here?
If only we'd been closer,
Reed whispered. Bartlett looked at him.
Or if only the scout had come quicker.
Terim said nothing. He stepped over a few large stones and slammed himself down along the beach line as the sea air kissed his face. Sitting still, his immediate frustration subsided, but his mind remained fraught with Warren's fall. He took a deep breath, gazing out at the waves that crashed against the rocky beach. Hundreds of miles away lay the continent of Darapel. It had once belonged to the dwarves and gnomes. But 4 summers ago, the Goermarks had found a way to gain control of the Chromabacks and used the dragons to take it over. It had only taken weeks, and it was still a mystery how they'd done it. But after they had, the remaining free folk started calling them the Dragon Army. The simple name stuck. They'd even adopted it themselves. It was only a minute or two before San joined him, sitting on a rock beside his.
You okay?
Terim looked sidelong, barely moving his head.
I'm fine.
You're a seriously awful liar. Guess you need some work.
Terim successfully kept himself from smiling.
Have it your way.
San shook his head. Terim let out a long breath and nodded.
Thanks. We can't rest long. I need to get back to Grandmaster Strongthorn to report. Maybe he can make sense of all of this.
Maybe.
San nodded.
All I know is they were way too close.
Terim stood and turned, solemn face, to address the others.
Another 1/4 mile, and we would have lost them over the Garethian. I'm proud of you all. Our friend Warren has returned to the god. We'll miss him, but in his death, there was honor. May his body lay in rest until taken by the earth and made a part of this great green world.
The wingmates were wordless. A drapery of visible sadness still covered them. Terim walked over and picked up his helmet.
Lieutenant.
Yes, sir.
San slipped back into formality.
Let's get back. There might be Knights of the Hammer around. I don't feel like answering any of the dwarves' prying questions just now. Peabok Din is their land. They have their own problems to concern themselves with. We don't need to bring them ours. Men, mount up. It'll be supper before we get back. We ride for Grendelok Keep.